Is there something wrong?
Warning. Life support failure on all decks. Abandon ship.
Maybe it is time to take command.
Bridge to captain.
Join Jan Shaw, updating current events as only Jan can.
Library computer, data being received.
Produced by CosmicReality.com.
Hello and welcome to this week's Cosmic Creating Show. My name is Jan Shaw, the Success Alchemist. You can find me at thesuccessalchemist.net, on Facebook and YouTube, Jan Shaw, the Success Alchemist, and on Twitter or X at Coach Jan Shaw. Today is the 9th of November, 2024, and the title of today's show is Trump Winning Bigly, Dems Still Cheating, and the Brunson Case. So I must say, on Wednesday morning when I got up, I was in time to see the end of Trump's winning speech. I was just absolutely ecstatic. In fact, I did shed a few tears. I managed to stay up the night before until about 1:30, so I saw some of the states being declared for Trump, which I thought this is a good sign. But yes, absolutely over the moon at the fact that Trump quite rightly has been re-elected in a landslide. And he's won the House and the Senate and the popular vote, which is fantastic. There is a bit of a caveat to that because there are some states that are still counting votes, notably California and Arizona. And we know what Arizona's like, don't we? Interestingly, there are far more red areas on the California map than they were in 2020. So that's a good sign. California isn't as blue as it used to be. But I'm going to cover some of the concerns about potentially Democrats cheating to rig the down ballot votes, particularly the candidates for the House, because obviously their worst fear is for the Republicans to control the House and the Senate. So it looks like, and I've got some ex-posts to share on this, it looks like they're delaying the vote counting to get sufficient votes, fraudulent votes, to add to the real total. So we'll have to wait and see. As I say, I'll cover that a little bit later. So let's take a look at the wins. So Gateway Pundit reports, actually today, confirmed President Trump breaks his vote total record from 2020 election, his third straight election to gain more voters, but Kamala's totals creep higher as dubious Democrat mail-in states still don't have their totals. Now it's confirmed President Donald Trump will break his vote total record from the 2020 election. In 2020, President Trump broke the record for most votes for a sitting US president in a presidential election. President Trump totaled 74,223,975 votes. He gained more votes from his previous total in 2016, when he totaled 62,984,828 votes to defeat Hillary Clinton. Joe Biden mysteriously recorded 81 million votes by campaigning from his basement during the 2020 cycle. On Friday night, 3 days after the presidential election and as counting continues, President Trump broke his previous record in his third election. President Trump, as of Friday night, is sitting at 74,250,053 votes. Trump is expected to add another 2 million votes to his totals from California alone when the state finally finishes its counting. California has only counted 72% of their ballots as of Friday night. This is totally unacceptable. This shows you how corrupt and insecure the system is in the Golden State. California is not alone. Washington, Oregon, Colorado, and Utah are still counting ballots in an election that ended 3 days ago. Arizona is also still counting for some reason. The U.S. Marshals should be sent in to investigate. What this means is that Kamala Harris continues to see her vote totals and her percentage of votes climb. She is closing in on taking the popular vote from President Trump before the counting is over. President Trump has increased his vote totals in each election as Americans appreciate his amazing leadership and understand his commitment to the country. Congratulations, President Donald J. Trump. You just made history again. Let's look at some other wins. And this is on X, Liz Wheeler. Trump is president-elect for 2 days. Stock market hits record high. Migrant caravan at our border dissolves. Hamas calls for end to war. Bitcoin hits record high. Putin ready to end Ukraine war. Qatar kicks out Hamas leaders. EU will buy US gas, not Russian gas. Putin will sell oil in US dollars. Zelensky phones Trump and Elon. New York City mayor ends vouchers for illegals. Mexico to stop migrants at US border. China wants to work peacefully with US. Big US company to move out of China. I repeat, Trump has been president-elect for 2 days. And there's a comment in another X post from Ryan Fellows. He's not had his inauguration ceremony yet, and already the world is starting to react. It's glorious. Even the idiots in the Labour government in the UK are trying to backtrack on all the insulting comments they made about Trump when they were in opposition in Parliament before they were elected. Oh boy, I do hope Trump has enough influence to get rid of these people. They're an absolute disaster. More good news is that DOJ and Special Counsel Jack Smith reportedly evaluating full dismissal of federal cases against President-elect Trump ahead of inauguration. Just as an aside, I did see somebody on X say that the case had actually been dismissed, but I haven't seen confirmation of that. So this report was on the 6th, so there may have been more news on it. But as I say, I haven't seen anything, so I'll go with this. The Biden Gestapo, Department of Justice, DOJ, and Special Counsel Jack Smith are reportedly scrambling to find ways to abandon their witch hunt against President-elect Donald Trump as he prepares to assume office. According to sources close to the DOJ, per NBC, high-level officials are now debating how to sideline both the January 6th and classified documents cases. Despite substantial evidence suggesting these cases were politically motivated, DOJ officials are now faced with the reality that they won't achieve a trial anytime soon, regardless of who resides in the Oval Office. With legal challenges and appeals poised to escalate to the Supreme Court, the department finally seems to realise that their flimsy cases lack the substance needed to hold in any meaningful court setting. NBC reported, "Now that Trump will become president again, DOJ officials see no room to pursue either criminal case against him, and no point in continuing to litigate them in the weeks before he takes office," the people said. The sources said it will be up to Smith to decide exactly how to unwind the charges, and many questions remain unanswered. Could the prosecutions resume after Trump leaves office, or would they be time-barred? What happens to the evidence? What about the two other defendants charged with helping Trump hide classified documents? Will the special counsel write a report, as special counsels usually do? The sources say all those issues require study and research. At the same time, Trump's legal team is weighing its own next steps for how to resolve the outstanding federal cases in his favour now that he is the projected winner of the election. The ultimate goal is to get all the federal and state cases wiped out completely, The strategic call is how best to accomplish that task according to a person familiar with the discussions. If the Trump side, for example, moved again in court to dismiss the charges in Washington related to election interference, then the Justice Department could use its legal response to explain its position on not moving forward with the case. Trump's New York criminal case presents different challenges, with a felony conviction and sentencing hearing scheduled for November 26th. The immediate goal of Trump's legal team is to get that postponed indefinitely or otherwise dismissed. And Johnny Maga on X had posted, MSNBC, Jack Smith and the DOJ seeking to end cases against Donald Trump, citing long-standing policy regarding the prosecution of a sitting president. They're terrified. Former Attorney General Bill Barr also called for the dismissal of charges against President-elect Trump. The American people have rendered their verdict on President Trump and decisively chosen him to lead the country for the next 4 years, Barr said in an interview with Fox News. They did that with full knowledge of the claims against him by prosecutors around the country, and I think Attorney General Garland and the state prosecutors should respect the people's decision and dismiss the cases against President Trump now, he added. It was also reported that Jack Smith will step down before Trump is sworn in. Trent Lacey on X posts, breaking, according to Fox News, DOJ is now confirming that Jack Smith will be gone before Trump is sworn in. They also confirm that Jack Smith's cases will also be dropped. The decision to potentially wind down these cases also reflect Trump's own stated intentions for his return to office. In a recent interview with radio host Hugh Hewitt, Trump didn't mince words, declaring he would fire Jack Smith within 2 seconds of taking the oath of office. Hugh Hewitt, so you're going to have a very tough choice the day after you take the oath of office, or maybe even the day that you take the oath of office. You're either going to have to pardon yourself or you're going to have to fire Jack Smith. Which one will you do? Donald Trump. Oh, it's so easy. It's so easy. In fact, he's a crooked person. He's a person. We had a brave, brilliant judge in Florida. She's a brilliant judge, by the way. I don't know her. I never spoke to her. But we had a brave and very brilliant judge. And what she has suffered through with these out-of-control people, she was listening to why, you know, putting out statements. She doesn't move fast. She doesn't do this. She doesn't do that. Well, she moved fast. But the fact is, we had, and the big case was that case, the documents case. You even said, oh, that's the big case. Hugh Hewitt, yes, I did. Donald Trump, we won the documents case. We're in the process of winning all the other cases, I think. Even sometimes when we have to go to appeal, we got immunity at the Supreme Court. It's so easy. I would fire him within 2 seconds. He'll be one of the first things addressed. Former Chief Counsel for Nominations and Senate Judiciary Committee, Mike Davis, said in an interview with Benny Johnson, right now you're the hunter. After today, Jack Smith, you're going to be the hunted, legally, politically, and financially. So lawyer up, buddy. Actually, I do have an update on this. I just found it. This is from Just the News. Jack Smith signals end to January 6th prosecution against Trump. Asked judge for month delay. DOJ has a long policy against prosecuting sitting presidents. This was published yesterday. Smith specifically mentioned Tuesday's election that returned Trump to the White House in seeking the delay. The Justice Department respectfully requests that the court vacate the remaining deadlines in the pre-trial schedule to afford the government time to assess this unprecedented circumstance, Smith's team wrote. The delay, his team noted, would give prosecutors time to, quote, determine the appropriate course going forward consistent with Department of Justice policy, end quote. Also on the 8th yesterday, Jordan warns Jack Smith to preserve records as panel probes DOJ. Republicans appear poised to retain the House and the subpoena power that comes with majority control. House Judiciary Committee Chairman Jim Jordan on Friday sent a warning to Special Counsel Jack Smith demanding that he preserve all records related to his prosecutions of President-elect Donald Trump. With President Trump's decisive victory this week, we are concerned that the Office of Special Counsel may attempt to purge relevant records, communications, and documents responsive to our numerous requests for information, Jordan wrote. The Office of Special Counsel is not immune from transparency or above accountability for its actions. Jordan issued a formal records preservation request to Smith in the letter. The special counsel has brought two criminal cases against Trump, though both are expected to end with his ascent to the presidency. Some other interesting news is the top five big pharma CEOs hold emergency meeting after Trump's landslide victory, obviously panicking. The unthinkable is happening. This was Gateway Pundit on the 7th. After former President Trump's massive election victory, the top executives of Big Pharma were reportedly scrambling to protect their influence over US healthcare. Sources indicate that the heads of five major pharmaceutical companies held an emergency teleconference on Wednesday to address the potential fallout from a Trump administration that has vowed to disrupt Big Pharma's hold on America. New Jersey Assemblyman and advisor to Robert Kennedy Jr., Jamel Holly, shared the breaking news on X Wednesday, stating, "Sources tell me top five CEOs of pharmaceutical companies are holding an emergency teleconference at 1 p.m. A lawyer has confirmed that everyone is in a state of panic." The emergency meeting comes as Kennedy, a well-known critic of corporate corruption in health policy, is expected to be appointed by Trump to lead a comprehensive overhaul of federal health agencies, including the FDA and CDC. Kennedy's vision aims to root out corporate influence, restore scientific integrity, and prioritize the health of the American people over big pharma profits. His commitment has stirred palpable anxiety among pharmaceutical executives as they brace for potential regulatory shakeups and policy shifts under the new administration. And it's got a screenshot of Kennedy's X post. "President Trump has asked me to do three things. One, clean up the corruption in our government health agencies. Two, return those agencies to their rich tradition of gold standard evidence-based science. Three, make America healthy again by ending the chronic disease epidemic." Holly added a light-hearted jab on social media, writing, "If RFK Jr. asks me which meeting I'd like to attend, I'll politely say the one with you and Bill Gates." As Big Pharma CEOs grapple with the potential consequences of a Trump-Kennedy team-up, the American public may soon witness historic reforms in the healthcare industry. And of course, if they go ahead with what Kennedy suggested, which is to ban Big Pharma ads on mainstream media and other places as well, of course, then that is going to really destroy an income stream that's keeping the mainstream media, the fake news media, afloat. So it would kill two birds with one stone, in effect. The Big Pharma giants wouldn't be able to push their poisons, and we'd be rid of the fake news media. Woohoo! Wouldn't that be great? So many people are posting about Trump's plan to dismantle the deep state. And this is Gateway Pundit, who summarizes it very well. "President Trump's plan to dismantle the deep state resurfaces and goes viral on X with posts from Elon Musk." This was posted yesterday. Another one. "Multiple policy proposal videos from President Trump have resurfaced on X in recent days, perhaps none more consequential than President Trump's promise to dismantle the deep state. The video, originally published in March 2023, is now going viral following his historic victory over Kamala Harris. Much of the American public's consternation during the Biden administration arose from attacks on people's rights and freedoms, from the authoritarian mandates during COVID-19 to the censorship campaign revealed in the Twitter files. Citizens have clamoured for government accountability. Left-wing media outlets are reeling from the backlash of the election. Some of President Trump's proposed policies are sure to affect the favoured status of corporate media. A key indication of their looming demise can be found in the App Store today, as X appears at the top of the ranks in free news apps. President Trump conveys a clear outline for an accountable government. He challenges the deep state with the following proposals. 1. Removal of rogue bureaucrats through executive order. 2. Clean out corruption in the national security apparatus. Overhaul the agencies so they cannot target Christians, conservatives, and enemies of the left. 3. Reform the FISA court. 4. Establish a Truth and Reconciliation Commission to declassify deep state spying, censorship, and corruption. 5. Launch major crackdown on government leakers who collude with fake news to subvert the government. 6. Make every Inspector General's office independent and separate from the office they oversee. 7. Ask Congress to create an independent auditing system to monitor intelligence agencies to ensure they are not spying on our citizens or running disinformation campaigns against the American people. 8. Move parts of the federal bureaucracy to new locations outside of Washington. 9. Ban federal bureaucrats from taking jobs at the companies they regulate. 10. Push a constitutional amendment to impose term limits on members of Congress. From Trump's campaign, target government corruption. President Trump's plan targets the corruption that has plagued our federal government and harmed Americans. The Biden administration has weaponized the FBI and DOJ to target conservatives, Christians, and their political enemies. A leaked and since withdrawn FBI memo recently revealed that FBI agents were likening traditional Catholics to domestic terrorists. Bureaucrats from the FBI and DHS directly colluded with social media companies during the 2020 election to censor American speech. During the Russia collusion hoax, government officials routinely selectively leaked information to the media to further their anti-Trump narrative. The FISA court process was corrupted by the Obama-Biden administration. In the lead-up to the 2016 election, the FISA court issued multiple warrants to spy on members of the Trump campaign that were later declared invalid by the Justice Department Inspector General because the FBI made material misstatements in obtaining them. The Justice Department's Inspector General found that in their applications for FISA warrants, the FBI made 17 significant errors and omissions. The Justice Department Inspector General found that the central piece of evidence the FISA warrants relied on was opposition research from the Clinton campaign. An FBI lawyer admitted that he forged an email in an attempt to ensure that the Obama-Biden administration spying on the Trump campaign through FISA warrants could continue. Many of these proposals seem like pipe dreams to Americans who have long dreamt of government reform. Term limits would be an uphill battle, as the president would need Congress to rein in their own authority and tenure. For Democrats specifically, that would seem like an unlikely proposition, given their staunch opposition to anything Trump sponsored. However, the public mandate was clear from the election results. Some of the president's proposals may be possible. As of this writing, President Trump appears poised to win over 300 Electoral College votes. The Senate has flipped Republican, with the Republicans gaining 4 seats. The House is going to go to the Republicans, as they have already gained 2 seats. The Republicans hold the majority gubernatorial seats in the states at 27-23. Lastly, President Trump leads the popular vote by over 4 million votes as of Friday. And the man who they call a misogynist has made his first appointment. Trump appoints a woman as chief of staff, first time ever. His enemies told you over and over that he hates women. This again was yesterday. Democratic Party propagandists and leftist losers repeatedly lied and said President Trump's victory would be terrible for women. Trump has responded by making history and naming his chief of staff as Susie Wiles, the first time in history a woman has been appointed to the position. Incidentally, this is from Modernity. The girl named Blake posted on X, Donald Trump naming Susie Wiles as his chief of staff is history. First female chief of staff ever in the history of our nation. No woman has ever held this role and Trump just put her in it. But he hates women. Please, go on. Susie Wiles just helped me achieve one of the greatest political victories in American history and was an integral part of both my 2016 and 2020 successful campaigns, Trump said in a statement. He added, Susie is tough, smart, innovative, and is universally admired and respected. Susie will continue to work tirelessly to make America great again. It is a well-deserved honor to have Susie as the first ever female chief of staff in United States history. I have no doubt that she will make our country proud, Trump urged. And J.D. Vance posted on X, this is great news. Susie was a huge asset to President Trump on the campaign and will be a huge asset in the White House. She's also just a really good person. Onward. Wiles was one of the first people Trump acknowledged during his victory speech. And Nick Sauter on X posted, people keep asking me why I believe Trump made a fantastic pick with Susie Wiles as White House Chief of Staff. Here are just a few reasons. One, she has been fiercely loyal to President Trump since 2016. Two, she does not seek the spotlight. Even when Trump tried to get her to speak at his victory speech the other night, she declined. She's all about the movement, very different than Trump past chiefs. Three, her personnel decisions while managing Trump's 2024 campaign were incredible. From at Alex Brusevich to C. Lewandowski and others, she was always on point. Congrats at Susie57. But the likes of Jimmy Kimmel will cry and tell you Trump hates women and that his victory is their loss. They just don't know it yet. And Trump's been posting very encouragingly on Truth Social. This is actually reported on X by The Storm Has Arrived. Trump just posted this and I truly believe we are about to be blown away by what's going to happen to this country and the entire world, the golden age. Nobody alive has ever seen our country truly unshackled from the globalist regime. I don't think we truly understand what DJT means when he says make America great again, but we're about to find out. And it's actually a screenshot showing a meme of Trump with his black MAGA hat on. And it says, get ready for the golden age. And on the same subject of the new golden age, ancientpsychedelia.com on X posts, what is the new world order? And it's got a screenshot of a Q post. We are going to show you a new world. Those who are blind will soon see the light. A beautiful, brave new world lies ahead. We take this journey together, one step at a time. Where we go one, we go all. Q. And this is a six-year delta posted on November 7th, 2018. So that's very interesting. And in the same post, there's also a definition of the New World Order in the case of the Golden Age. I'm going to cut to the chase and jump to the bottom of this. The old world order ended on November 4th, 2024, and now there is a new world order that most people never saw coming and have yet to grasp and understand. This is a golden age of enlightenment, like the Renaissance of the 15th and 16th centuries. This era saw Europe emerge from the Dark Ages and witch trials into a new age of intellectual and financial prosperity. The era was marked by the Stuarts rising to power and the ushering in of religious tolerance. The Scottish Stuarts also happened to be Donald J. Trump's royal family line. And this is truly the beginning of a new world order. The only difference is, this time, it belongs to the people. So as Elon Musk says, let that sink in. Trump is also going to, quote, decisively defeat the climate hysteria hoax. And he's also doubled down on his deportation of illegal immigrants. Interestingly, Shadow of Ezra posted on X, Vladimir Putin declared the death of the New World Order just 2 days after the election results and a day after Elon Musk's cryptic Novus Ordo Seclorum tweet, which actually means New Order of the Ages, and it's one of the mottos on the reverse side of the Great Seal of the United States. I didn't know that. Putin says the New World Order is a thing of the past. The moment of truth is approaching, and he backs Donald Trump's foreign policy, emphasizing a stance that avoids the use of force. The global order is dead. And another post from Rachel on X. Trump has won. The German socialist government has collapsed. All across Europe, the people are rejecting socialism. France, Holland, Sweden, Spain, and more. Starmer is already desperately unpopular in the UK. The West is waking up. So I want to move on to what's happening in these states where the count is still ongoing. And this is Tony Saruga on X. While we celebrate, the mini big steal is ongoing. Pat yourself once on the back and get back on the field. The shadow big steal is ongoing. The game is not over. Colonel retired John Mills. Several more Senate and House seats should be red, but mysteriously they are not. President Trump wins at the top of the ticket and down ballot races are slipping blue as the same states that can't count ballots are coming up with just enough to rip off red candidates. These include Michigan, Mike Rogers, Wisconsin, Eric Hovde, Nevada, Sam Brown, Arizona, Carrie Lake, even Virginia, Hung Cao. I'm not sure if that's the right pronunciation. Pennsylvania, Bob Casey won't concede. He seems to know something. It's industrial, RICO-level ballot production. It also seems every state that doesn't want IDs went for Harris and or is slipping Senate and House seats to the blue team. We let the marching band get on the field too early. The blue team is running through the cheering crowd and scoring extra points. County registrars and recorders, as well as state election officials, retain your documents. DOJ will be looking into this RICO action and applying 18 U.S.C. 611. Must be a U.S. citizen to vote. It's not over in the House. And many people have been posting similar concerns and tagging Laura Trump. And she responded saying, for anyone wondering, none of our EI, election integrity staff, in any state has been released. The GOP worked closely with the NRCC all cycle to build our historic election integrity program and we're still working with them to make sure at real Donald Trump has a majority to work with in the House. Our teams are still on the ground in California, Arizona and Ohio, working with campaigns and state parties to see these races through until end. We're still watching. Harmeet Dhillon also responded, Arizona update. There are lawyers and trained observers monitoring tabulation of ballots, duplicating and adjudication until we are done. I'm in constant touch with Carrie's lawyers and supporters about this and we are watching every ballot drop, as is at AZGOP, at Gina Swoboda. Of course, that's Carrie Lake that she's referring to. Gateway Pundit reports on several other suspected fraud incidents. Urgent Democrats are trying to steal 3 GOP House seats in Orange County, and the GOP needs immediate help. This was from this morning. Urgent request, help needed. Here is the situation in Orange County, California on Friday morning, where the corrupt Democrats are trying to steal three U.S. House seats from the GOP. According to rumblings on the street, Newsom is flying in people from D.C. to corrupt the process. Passing this on, please share with anyone you know who would be willing to help. Urgent election integrity alert for Orange County Republicans. The races for the 45th, 47th and 49th district are razor thin and 364,055 ballots are still left to count. National Democrats have sent staff and volunteers from Washington, D.C. to the Orange County Registrar of Voters. I'll be blunt, we're outnumbered. Donald Trump will be the next president of the United States, but Democrats want control of the House to block the mandate Americans gave us on Tuesday night. We need your help now. We will be at the Orange County Registrar of Voters, 1300 South Grand Avenue, Santa Ana, today until 7 p.m. If you can make it down today, please come and help. Staff will be under the American flag to train you before you go in. We must make sure every legally cast vote is counted. And the article ends saying, the cheat is on. Please help stop the steal. Now, another interesting development comes from Joe Rogan, who, of course, has a massive audience both on YouTube and Spotify. Joe Rogan raises serious questions about the 2020 election. Something doesn't add up here. And this is reported by Vigilant News. The 2024 election results are in and something seems off. The jaw-dropping 81 million votes the Democrats received in 2020 have plummeted to just 70 million in 2024. Where did those 11 million votes disappear? This vital question has propelled an eye-opening chart comparing the vote tallies from 2012 to 2024 to go mega viral. On the Joe Rogan Experience with comic Dave Smith on Thursday, Rogan pointed out how crazy this drop in the Dem vote count is, saying you would expect even more people to vote in the 2024 election because this is, quote, one of the most consequential elections ever. Look at the difference in how many people voted for Biden in 2020. It's unprecedented. It's way higher than any other time since 2012. Look at where the number is. It's all like 65 million votes for Dems in 2012, 2016 and 2024. So that is all the same every effing time except 2020. In 2020, it goes way the fuck up. Now, of course, we all know that the 2020 election was stolen. And of course, this was vehemently denied by the Democrats. Now, several weeks ago, when I was on the Say What show, I reported on the Democrats complaining that votes were being switched in early voting from Kamala Harris to Trump. Now, we had many complaints from Republicans saying it had been swapped from Trump to Kamala, but this is the first time we saw a report that the swaps were happening from Kamala to Trump. And I thought it was extremely significant. I did make a prediction that this could stop the election, which, of course, didn't happen. But what I was saying was that with this happening, then the Democrats were likely to contest the results. Well, interestingly, this report came out yesterday on Gateway Pundit. Threat to democracy. Kamala supporters begin questioning results of the 2024 presidential election. Some call for audits. Yes, please. This looks to me like they're falling right into our hands. Anyway, the article says, after the results from this week's presidential election shocked Democrats across the country, following months of being told by disingenuous polls that Kamala was leading or neck and neck with President Trump in each of the swing states, some have begun to call for audits and investigations. The proverbial shoe is now on the other foot. While Kamala has conceded defeat to President Trump and Democrat politicians have remained relatively silent in these calls, constituents have had a different sentiment and have taken to social media to insist something is amiss. Thankfully, Elon Musk's X platform, formerly Twitter, no longer censors people for questioning elections, like they did in the lead up to and following the 2020 presidential election, as YouTube and many other social media entities did, often at the behest of the government, violating the First Amendment. But what exactly are they calling for? These Democrat supporters are playing from behind after years of denying overwhelming evidence of improprieties in the 2020 and 2022 elections. Following the 2020 election, investigators began to collect data and evidence through open records request, including chain of custody, or in most cases the lack of, cast vote records, system log files, ballot images, voter rolls, grassroots door-to-door canvassing efforts, and any other piece of data they could get their hands on. Through these acquisitions, many grassroots election groups published numerous reports on the anomalies and improprieties in the conducting of those two elections. Perhaps the most egregious was the admission from former Fulton County Board of Registrations and Elections member Mark Wingate during the disbarment hearing of former Deputy U.S. Attorney General Jeff Clark. Wingate testified under oath that Fulton County did no signature verification on returns in the largest county in Georgia. He also testified that he was denied chain of custody documents to assist with certifying the validity of the election. A close second would be the evidence presented in Curry Lake's 2022 lawsuit that revealed hundreds of thousands of signatures impossibly verified in under 3 seconds, especially considering this required scrolling down on a computer screen to perform the verification. In 2024, however, the shoe is now on the other foot. Kamala supporters are taking to X to call for investigations and/or audits into the 2024 results, and this writer supports that fully. One X post with over 1 million views states Trump and Musk and their band of thieves have stolen 20 million Democratic votes. Buckle up, it's going to get ugly. This type of election denialism is a threat to democracy. Sarcasm. It seems they forgot when Mark Zuckerberg and Priscilla Chan donated $440 million to elections office that went predominantly to Democrat strongholds, especially in the swing states. And it was Kevin Young on X who made the claim. Another post on X from Pam Keith, an attorney and the CEO of the Center for Employment Justice, asks, is it possible that the machines were hacked to switch the tallies from Harris to Trump? Because that would make actual sense. The post currently has 1.5 million views on X. She has turned off comments on her post after being called an election fraud insurrectionist, among other things. Keith was a Democrat congressional candidate who lost by almost 15 points to Republican Congressman Brian Mast in Florida's 18th district. Others have been more reserved in their remarks, stopping just short of calling for audit stroke investigations. One ex-user writes, so she raised $1 billion, packed stadiums, a record number of early voters, but 15 million of us sat this one out, okay. That post currently has 6.2 million views. The explanations for this one are quite simple. The $1 billion will likely be proven to be funds laundered through smurfing via Act Blue once a House investigation is completed. The packed arenas and gyms initially consisted of busloads of out-of-towners, followed by celebrity guest performances such as Megan Thee Stallion, Bon Jovi, Bruce Springsteen, and the promise of a Beyoncé performance. She never took the stage to sing. Donald Trump did not use musicians to fill his arenas. As the Gateway pundit reported earlier, there is definitely something strange about the vote totals. In this past election, Kamala Harris received 30 million fewer votes than Joe Biden did in the 2020 election. But the anomaly isn't the 2024 results, it's 2020's. In 2020, Joe Biden received 81 real lawful American votes, if you're to believe that. Donald Trump shattered records for an incumbent president and received 74 million. But the 2020 numbers are anomalous to 2012, 2016 and 2024, which all align pretty consistently according to a chart posted by Zero Hedge on X. Two other X posts, each receiving 446,000 views and 194,000 views, called for Kamala to not concede the race until a thorough recount is done because something doesn't add up. They write, "Someone please investigate this before Trump takes office." The other post asks, "Who else wants to see a forensic analysis, an investigation, and a hand recount of this year's election results? Because you know he's cheated." Perhaps to the surprise of the users who made the posts, most of the comments are either agreeing with the calls for an audit / investigation or pointing out the hypocrisy after 4 years of being called election deniers and hearing Mockingbird media regurgitating the premature remarks of environmental lawyer turned CISA director Chris Krebs, who stated days after the election that 2020 was the most secure in American history. Either way, you would be hard-pressed to find anyone in the MAGA America First movement, especially those deeply vested in election integrity such as myself, who would object to a thorough and fully transparent audit of the entirety of elections, especially in swing states. After all, how likely is it that Democrat senators outperform the top-of-the-ticket Democrat, Kamala Harris, while Republican senatorial candidates grossly underperform Donald Trump? Careful what you wish for. You're starting to sound like conspiracy theorists. So this is exactly what we want. We want the Democrats to start challenging the election, and it's likely to lead to investigations into the voting machines, which of course were largely responsible for a lot of fraud that happened in 2020, and we also saw it happening in 2024. So that calls into question immediately the accuracy of the 2020 election. So it's perfect. So with the time I have left, I'm just going to cover a little bit about the Brunson case. And it's been reported on by American Media Group. And I'm not going to read all of it. I'm just going to go into what the summary is of the Brunson case. For those unfamiliar, the Brunson case is a legal challenge with the potential to shake the very foundations of American politics. The Brunson brothers argue that the 2020 election certification violated their constitutional rights by disregarding evidence of fraud. They claim that those who certified the results, from Congress members to Vice President Pence, did so without adequate investigation, effectively undermining the people's will. But what makes this case even more compelling is that it's not just a simple lawsuit, it's an explosive claim that could bring down the entire establishment. Supporters believe that the Supreme Court has already heard this case behind closed doors. If this secret hearing did indeed happen, as some allege, then Trump's little secret could change everything. Imagine a scenario where a Supreme Court ruling declares the 2020 election invalid. The repercussions would be unprecedented. In this vision, every politician who participated in certifying that election would be stripped of their position, and Trump would assume what his supporters view as his rightful place as President of the United States. Trump's secret weapon, the role of Rule 11. One key factor that makes the Brunson case so intriguing is Rule 11. Under Supreme Court procedures, if the court denies a hearing, it doesn't mean the case is dead. It can still be pulled off the shelf. This little-known rule has fueled hopes that the Brunson case, even if previously dismissed, can resurface at any time. Imagine the surprise, the shockwaves, if this case reappears without warning and becomes the vehicle for what Trump supporters believe will be justice. Rule 11 is especially powerful because it allows the Supreme Court to take up a case of exceptional importance at any time, even if it was initially denied. This gives the case a sense of ticking urgency. In a world where timing is everything, Rule 11 could be the key to unlocking what Trump supporters see as the nation's salvation. To them, this case could be the ultimate Trump card, a surprise that nobody saw coming, but everyone has been waiting for. According to some theories, the Brunson case isn't just a Supreme Court matter. It's allegedly tied to the US military. This is where things get truly intriguing. Rumours abound that Trump, working with high-level military officials, is preparing for the ultimate revelation. The idea is that if the Supreme Court rules in favour of Brunson, it would immediately trigger military support to enforce the ruling, effectively reassigning Trump to the presidency. This idea of military involvement isn't just speculation for some, it's a source of hope. Supporters believe that the Space Force, a relatively new branch of the military, has collected evidence proving election interference and fraud. Imagine the drama. As soon as the Supreme Court delivers its verdict, the military swoops in to restore Trump to the Oval Office. This narrative hinges on a sense of unity between the judiciary and the military, both working to correct a perceived historic wrong. If the Brunson case does lead to a ruling that nullifies the 2020 election, the implications are staggering. Not only would Biden and Harris be ousted, but every act, policy, and executive order they've enacted would be void. Imagine the level of restructuring that would require. Every piece of legislation passed under Biden's administration, every appointment, and every policy would be upended. This imagined outcome isn't just a political shake-up, it's a total overhaul. Supporters believe that such an event would cleanse the government, removing what they see as corruption, fraud, and deception from positions of power. In this vision, America would emerge reborn, led by Trump and free from the influence of those deemed complicit in the fraud. The idea is that this clean sweep would pave the way for a truly great America. This report was published on the 7th of November, and interestingly, Ben Fulford put out a video on the 6th of November saying that 342 politicians will be publicly executed for treason. And this, he said, was from a Pentagon email that he received. Is this a coincidence? It seems like it's pointing the way to exactly what the AMG report is saying, and it would be truly glorious to see it happen. Let's all keep our fingers crossed. In the few minutes I've got left, I'll just cover some of the Democrat meltdown after the results of the election, or at least so far the results. Their blame game has started. Sore loser Democrats viciously turn on stupid and selfish Biden. We've been seeing on X many compilations of meltdowns by woke Democrat supporters screaming at in their TikTok videos about how devastated they are that Kamala didn't win. And there's been some interesting things about Kamala actually since this happened. Kamala Harris's campaign raised $1 billion, and Modernity reports, Kamala campaign ended up $20 million in debt. Another amusing thing that happened is that, again from Modernity, laughing out loud, Kamala mural painted over after embarrassing election trouncing. A mural of Kamala Harris that was painted on the side of a building in Atlanta, Georgia, before the election has been painted over in the wake of her pathetic loss in a landslide to President Trump. Of course, many of the celebs claimed that if Donald Trump won, that they would leave the country. Even, I think one, I can't remember who it was. I think it might have been Bono from U2, who said if Trump won, he'd drive off a cliff. Well, we haven't seen that happen. America Ferrera, an actress, apparently, I've never heard of her, said she was planning to move to the UK. Well, no, thank you. We don't want any more woke Democrats, thank you. Bette Midler went on a rant and then promptly deleted her X account, and I think others have deleted their accounts as well. Of course, most of these are P. Diddy partygoers, freak-off goers, so they're scared to death of what's going to be revealed that puts them in great jeopardy. Female Democrat voters are calling for a 4-year sex strike in protest at Trump's election. Do they think anyone cares? Rosie O'Donnell called to abolish racist electoral college. I'm not sure how the electoral college is racist. And it's not just in the US where heads are exploding. The Guardian in the UK offers therapy to staff after devastating Trump election win. Talk about snowflakes. Bless their hearts. I must say, it's so amusing to see this. And, you know, we've had a glorious week, haven't we? I was so delighted about Trump's win being announced so quickly. It was much quicker than I expected, with these states saying it was going to take weeks to count. But to see the Democrat head explosion on a massive scale is really so amusing. These people are so unhinged, it's unbelievable. I think they've lost their minds. And of course, we're already seeing violence break out. I think it was in Chicago, Antifa riots, which were shut down pretty quickly. But I'm sure we'll see more of that as we get closer to Trump's inauguration in January. Unless, of course, the Brunson case comes through and he's reinstated immediately. Now, that would be wonderful. I think we'd definitely have many bottles of champagne to celebrate. So that's my roundup for this week. I hope you've enjoyed the show and you'll join me for another Cosmic Creating show next week. These times are so exciting. I can't wait to see what happens in the coming week. Thank you so much for listening. I do appreciate you. And I'd just like to remind you that you can find me at thesuccessalchemist.net with lots of solutions if you're having any challenges with manifesting what you want to be, do and have in this lifetime. So go over and take a look. Lots of free information there, as well as how I can help. And you can access my manifestation assessment to find out what it is specifically that's holding you back. You can find that very easily on the top menu at thesuccessalchemist.net. So thank you to Nancy, as always, for producing. And I look forward to sharing more good news with you next week. So until next time, stay well, be safe, and bye for now.
You have been listening to Cosmic Creating with Jan Shaw, updating current reality, a production of CosmicReality.com.